politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. 64 degrees. A few cars stacked up in Northumberland, but everybody else doing okay. A couple cars stacked up in front of Route 11 northbound in front of the middle school, but Route 54 starting to clear out in Riverside. Everybody else doing okay today. Time for movie Mike McGranahan, a professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. Do as I do. Follow his wonderful tweets, at aisleseat. Member of the Critics Choice Association that brings you this wonderful Critics Choice Awards each year.
Yeah, they'll be coming up in a few months.
Oh my gosh, right, the award season. That's strange. Yeah, football season and award season.
Mm-hmm.
Get out the snow shovel, I guess. All right. What's the name of this one? The Peanut Butter Falcon, mm-hmm. please.
The Peanut Butter Falcon sounds like what you'd get if Han Solo crashed his spaceship into the Reese's factory. It's actually the story of a young man with Down syndrome, played by newcomer Zach Gottsagen. He escapes from his personal care home and ends up befriending outlaw fisherman Shia LaBeouf. Together, they make their way through Virginia in search of a retired professional wrestler and the school he supposedly runs. Dakota Johnson co-stars as the care home worker trying to track them down. I know that plot sounds corny and contrived and, well, it totally is. But look, the world is a crazy place right now. No matter what political side you're on, you're probably sick to death of the other side. Turn on the news and you see all kinds of horrible stuff going on. So do yourself a favor and spend 95 minutes feeling hopeful and optimistic. The Peanut Butter Falcon is a nice movie about nice people helping each other out, treating each other with respect, and finding common ground. The performances are outstanding, with Shia LaBeouf in particular doing some of the best work of his career. The movie also has really funny scenes, and you walk away feeling lifted up. Again, it's all a little corny, but trust me when I say that the world needs more inspiring movies like this right now. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 jars of Skippy.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I watch the trailer, as I always do. How many jars?
3.
3? I rolled my eyes. I thought, oh, brother, here we go. You know, this is another feel-good movie.
Uh-huh.
But you love movies that aren't pretentious. This pretends to be a feel-good movie, and guess what?
You know, to be honest with you, in the first 10 minutes of this movie, I was thinking, this is exactly the kind of movie I'm going to hate, because it begins with this guy breaking out of the personal care home and bending the bars, tying some sheets together and bending the bars and then oiling himself up so he can slip out of them. I thought, okay, this is going to be really corny and contrived. And then the movie goes on, and it's really good because it would have been easy to make fun of these characters and for the film to look down on them, but it doesn't. It asks us to empathize with these characters. They have problems that are similar to things that we might have had.
Everybody involved, not just this young man.
Right, all of them, right. And again, it's a movie about people helping each other out and people coming from different walks of life and saying, you know what, rather than focusing on our differences, let's focus on what we have in common. And in this case, it's these two guys wanting to go and find this professional wrestler so that this young man can fulfill his dream. It's corny, it's contrived, but it doesn't matter. It's just such a well-acted and such an emotional movie that you get swept up in it.
Funny sometimes?
Very funny at times, yes. Some very funny lines of dialogue, some funny situations that the characters find themselves in.
And a romantic thread exists?
There is, yes. There is a little bit of a romance between Shia LaBeouf and Dakota Johnson. And again, that could have felt really, really forced. They could have written it in a way that just felt like they were getting together to get together. But that doesn't happen. She initially doesn't like him, and then she sort of sees the good in him and the way he's treating this young man. I don't want to say too much more about it, but it feels kind of authentic. So again, this movie rises above what it could have been.
Sequel?
I don't know where they would go with a sequel, but who knows? This is one of those movies. This has been in very limited release for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and this is the weekend it goes nationwide. People keep asking me about it. And for a movie like this that's sort of been under the radar compared to stuff like, you know, Good Boys or Hobbs and Shaw, it's kind of unusual for this to get that much traction. So I think this is a potential sleeper hit in the making here.
Okay, PG?
I believe it is PG-13.
13, okay. So not for necessarily every child that is out there. You don't want to teach your kids how to escape out of jail if they might pick up that lesson. I guess you wouldn't want them to see that. Okay, so 3
Skippy. Three jars of Skippy.
Three jars of Skippy. All right, I got to make a note of that so I can keep good track of this. Just real quick here, we also saw Good Boys come out. What is it?
Yes, Good Boys came out last week. I was going to review that today, except the Peanut Butter Falcon opens locally, and I wanted to do that. But Good Boys is very funny. There again, not necessarily anything we haven't seen before, a movie about foul-mouthed kids getting into some trouble, but the dialogue is really sharp, the performances are good, I laughed all the way through, so that would be another three-star movie.
All right, well, we have your recorded review of that that we insert from time to time on Friday.
Yes.
We'll play that so folks can get that. That's a three also, right?
That is also a three,
okay,
yep.
So you can do that. And what was the other? There was one other one last week that you wanted to see right away and review it. I had it written down, but I don't see it in front of me.
I see so many movies a week, I'm sort of blanking on it right now, too, but yeah.
Okay. All right, well, that's fine. New movies, what should we look for in the theaters that we couldn't see last week?
Okay, well, The Peanut Butter Falcon, which I just reviewed, does open today. We've also got Overcomer, in which a high school basketball coach volunteers to coach a troubled teen in long-distance running. This is a faith-based film from the people who made a movie a couple years ago I thought was pretty good called War Room. So if you're into faith-based films, you might be interested in that one. We've also got Angel Has Fallen. Secret Service agent Gerard Butler is framed for the attempted assassination of the president and must evade his own agency and the FBI as he tries to uncover the real threat. This is a sequel to London Has Fallen and Olympus Has Fallen. I think I got those reversed. I think Olympus Has Fallen came out first. So this is the third film in that series. And finally, we've got Ready or Not, in which a bride's wedding night takes a sinister turn when her eccentric new in-laws force her to take part in a terrifying game of hide and seek. And I'll probably review that one next week because I wanted to do the Peanut Butter Falcon today, but I saw it Ready or Not yesterday, and I have to say it's one of the sickest and most twisted films I've ever seen, so of course I loved every second of it.
Ready or Not. I didn't hear much buzz about that. People have been talking about that?
Yeah, this is another one I think that could be a sleeper. There seems to be some buzz around it.
Ready or Not.
Again, it doesn't have the hype of Hobbs and Shaw or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or something like that, but it does seem to be on some people's radar, and it's got that kind of cool vibe to it that I think a lot of people are going to be intrigued by.
All right, we're not going to see any movies coming out now that have been extensively promoted and really talked about that there's tons and tons of buzz about.
Right, this is the doldrums of summer last few weeks here. We won't have another big A-list movie until It Chapter 2, which comes out the first Friday in September. I believe that's the 6th.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep an eye out for that, and that's coming out. Have you seen that yet by chance?
I have not, but I cannot wait.
Okay. So that is coming out. All right. So that is new movies. Movie news this week. Spider-Man is no longer in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Did he get fired or something?
Well, there was a little bit of a dispute. Of course, Sony for years owned and still does own the rights to Spider-Man on screen. And they made the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies and then the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. But then there was a deal made with Disney to bring him formally into the MCU. So we had him in Captain America Civil War and then Homecoming and this summer Far From Home. And of course, the Avengers movies. But now there's a dispute. Disney wants a 50-50 split of the profits for any future Spider-Man movies. Sony offered them 5% of the profits, and so now they have gotten divorced. So Sony will continue to make Spider-Man movies. They have two more planned with Tom Holland, the current star. But as far as anything else with Spider-Man popping up in the MCU, it looks like that's not going to happen.
And that's too bad, because they're more creative, or they seem a little more over the top. Is that true?
Yeah, and Spider-Man was really taking a role of prominence in the MCU. He was Tony Stark's protege and was really kind of taking over the Iron Man-y sort of role here in the Avengers and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and now it looks like that's not going to happen.
Okay, well, this situation's ripe for a compromise if there ever was one.
There could still be one if they can get their acts together.
Well, if you can't agree on splitting profits, then you can't agree on important stuff either then.
Right.
All right, I was surprised and happy to see this week when I was looking at AP headlines that there's a new James Bond movie coming out.
Yes, the 25th Bond movie, and they released the title this week. There's always speculation about the titles. Bond 25 will be called No Time to Die.
Okay. playing on that theme.
Yes.
It's got seven words in Bond titles, so they just put them up in a different order, I guess,
right,
over the years. All right, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Peter Fonda died. I was surprised to see the number of films he'd been in, and a lot of unusual roles where I guarantee you saw him in that movie and never said, hey, that's Peter Fonda.
Absolutely. A really great actor, Peter Fonda, dead at the age of 79 from respiratory failure due to lung cancer. And, of course, he got an Oscar nomination for writing Easy Rider, the movie that really put him on the map. Almost 30 years later, he was nominated for Best Actor for the film Yulee's Gold. He was also in movies like The Trip, which, if you've never seen The Trip with Dennis Hopper and Jack Nicholson, it's like an LSD movie from whatever it was, 67, 68. Go and rent that movie. It's really fascinating. Ride with the Devil, Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry. And, of course, one of Peter Fonda's other notable things is that he's the father of actress Bridget Fonda, who was one of the most popular actresses of the 90s. So he will definitely be missed.
Where's Bridget today, as long as we're on the topic?
She retired from acting. She is married to Danny Elfman, the former leader of one of my favorite bands, Oingo Boingo, now a very successful film composer. And she retired from acting to be married to him and to raise their son.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe she'll pop in back on the screen one day.
I wish.
That might be interesting. Okay. Well, movie Mike McGranahan, thank you so much for all this information.
Thank you.
Thanks for the review of the Peanut Butter Falcon, 3 jars of Skippy. Please do as I do. Follow him on Twitter at Isle Seat, and his appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.